They say the best things in life are free, but there's actually a secret deluxe tier of best that you can unlock for a few bucks a month. It's Patreon-exclusive Retronauts content, and that includes bonus podcasts every other Friday, weekly mini-episodes by Diamond Fight, Discord access, and more. Here's a quick look at our latest bonus episode, which you can listen to in its entirety by going to patreon.com/retronauts and subscribing at the $5 a month exclusive content tier.
This week in Retronauts, if this link's a boken, don't come a knocking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Retronauts. I don't know if that quite worked out, but you know what? We're going to allow it. So Zelda 2, also a tough game, but in a different way. It's just, you know, it's very difficult. It's very challenging. And it's also very different than the original Zelda, which, you know, was... I don't think that sat well with people, but we'll talk about... Later, we'll talk about how the Zelda series has sort of repatriated Zelda 2 into the fold. That actually happened quite a while ago now. But, you know, for a long time, it was kind of the weird Zelda, because the third Zelda game went back to the top-down style and was basically a refined version of the original Zelda. So it just made this one the odd game out. But it didn't come to exist, like I said, in a vacuum. There are reasons why Zelda 2 went the direction that it did. And we're going to talk about those, or at least speculate about them. Kind of paint a canvas here with potential reasons for Zelda 2 to have been so weird. But one thing that I do think is worth noting before we get started, and when I put together my NES Works video on Zelda 2 like a year ago, I really spent some time digging into Nintendo's coverage of the game pre-launch. And holy cow, they went ham on Zelda 2. They were determined to sell you on it, and they gave away so much of the game before it launched due to the shipping delays. I mean, they were covering it. Basically, they announced it alongside the original Zelda for the US. If you look back, the Video Game History Foundation just recently posted something on, I don't know if it was in their Discord or on their Twitter feed. It all just blurs together at this point in my brain. But something that was basically saying, like, here's Zelda, here's Zelda 2. And this was before Zelda 1 came out, like a month before. I think it was summer CES 87. And so, you know, by that point, both games were out in Japan. So they kind of planned to release them in quick succession. But it took about a year and a half for Zelda 2 to reach the U.S., and in that time, Nintendo never stopped plugging it. It showed up as a cover feature on the Nintendo Fun Club News. And, you know, there were previews that showed the dungeons in Fun Club News. The official Nintendo Player's Guide, which came out well before Zelda 2, featured extensive coverage of Zelda 2. I believe that was before Mario 2 came out. Like, there was no Mario 2 coverage in that book. But Zelda 2, it had detailed dungeon maps and everything. So, you know, they just kept pushing it and pushing it. And once it actually did ship, there was a big cover feature in Nintendo Power. And then I think the following month or two issues later, maybe, there was another big blowout that basically took you all the way up to the next to last dungeon. So they were determined to sell you on this game. And also, I think they were aware that this game was really, really difficult. So they wanted to kind of pitch you on the idea of the value of Nintendo Power. Look, if you have Nintendo Power, you can actually potentially finish this game. So yeah, this game was a big deal for Nintendo, and it was a big deal for the rest of the industry, because lots of other developers said, Zelda 2, that seems to be doing well. That's very on trend. Let's go ahead and do one of those. So to trace back the roots of Zelda 2, I don't know, you know, video games, where do you start? But I kind of feel like the first meaningful game that really you can see elements of it in Zelda would be the Activision trilogy for Atari 2600, Pitfall, Pitfall 2, and Hero. Hero might be kind of the odd one out here because it's not, you know, kind of free roaming adventure. It's very level by level, but the structure of the caves that you travel through is very reminiscent of the way the dungeons, the palaces are laid out in Zelda 2. I guess they call them palaces in the US, but they're temples, right? They're just temples.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to get too religious on us. So yes, the palaces. But also, Hero allows you to use a jetpack that lets you fly, and Zelda 2 lets you turn into a fairy who can fly, which is a strange and interesting power, because you literally just turn into one of the little winged fairies that gives you, you know, health up otherwise elsewhere in the game. But in this case, you're just like zipping around, avoiding enemies and flying through keyholes, which is
you can go through doors.
Weird and cool. Yeah.
I always like that mechanic.
So Kevin is kind of our Atari 2600, Activision, etc. expert. I don't know if you have any thoughts on kind of saying this is where it all began here. Do you think that's valid and fair?
Well, I mean, as we talked about in the Pitfall episode of the show, you know, Pitfall 2 did have some traction in Japan, and Hero as well. I don't know how much the original did, but yeah, I can kind of see some of those aspects, especially in Hero. You mentioned like flying around in the caves, but the caves are also very much like a puzzle. You have like a limited amount of oxygen and a limited amount of explosives to, you know, power your way through, and you can carve through walls using your beam, which functions a lot like the beam in Zelda 2. Very short range, but you know, you don't have to stand right next to something to kill it, but like it takes a lot of time. So yeah, I could see that. And Pitfall 2 are very like very exploratory games. You know, you have to figure out how to get through them if you actually want to finish them, especially the first one, since the timer is so strict. And then there's the Pitfall 2 on the Atari 800 that has the extra second quest on there that is even more convoluted and complex. So I could see the influence there.
I was really just thinking in terms of like you are a guy who runs and jumps and does stuff.
You do that,
but in a more focused, a more kind of exploratory way than in say Donkey Kong or you know Kangaroo or something like.
And you
these
wear
were
green.
Not games.
You wear green.
Yeah. That's true.
You bounce off crocodile headed creatures.
That's true. You do have pants though, unlike Link. Yeah. So yeah, I just feel like. You kind of look to these games and say, this is where people started to say, what if you ran and you jumped, but in a meaningful way? And so much came from there. But yeah, we don't have to belabor the point. We recently covered Pitfall and Pitfall 2 and many other Pitfall games in a pair of episodes, actually. So check those out. Pretty recent, I think like November of 2023. So I could look up the number for you, but I won't. Because you have to do a little of your own work. That's the Zelda spirit. The next game I have on this list is Pac-Land, which basically takes, you know, kind of the premise of Pitfall, a guy running and jumping, and makes it more of an actual kind of structured adventure with a beginning and an end. And, you know, at the same time also creates the idea of like, here is a contiguous space that exists in both directions and you need to kind of travel it, to traverse it. Kevin, again, you're a big fan. So, unless someone wants to jump in ahead of you, why don't you walk us through this one?
Well, I do feel like all roads lead to Pac-Land for some reason.
It is the Rome of video games.
It really is.
Yeah. Shadows of Rome was actually a secret Pac-Land game.
Yeah, Nintendo.
And Effort was pretty yellow.
Nintendo in particular just really seemed into Pac-Land, just pulling from it constantly. And in this case, you know, I feel like it did codify a lot of aspects of maneuvering around in like a 2D platformer space. And there are like hidden items in this that you can use to sort of navigate through without dying quite so much. Which is sort of reminiscent of Zelda 2's, like, spells and the sword techniques you can earn, kind of, sort of. Like, you have to solve puzzles to get them, you have to, you know, poke around in Pac-Land to find them there. Like, I'll go with that.
Also, fairies.
Fairies are in both
games,
that's
right,
yes.
There's fairies. Nintendo just really likes the little fairy things. They're very cute.
Yeah, so, I don't know, Pac-Land... again, fairly primal, but so much of the platforming genre came out of Pac-Land. You know, Super Mario Brothers is kind of the big inflection point, but this is the without whom department. And, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, can you imagine how good Pac-Land Total War would be?
There'd be a lot of blood because Pac-Man is just one big head. So if you just get a headshot, it just bursts like a bloody balloon.
Yum.
That's the mental image I needed today.
Always happy to help.
Tom, any thoughts on Pac-Land, or would you rather just move
no,
on?
No, I actually, you know, I missed out on
bloody bursting.
I missed out on Pac-Land. My experience is the stage in Smash Brothers. That's my Pac-Land experience.
Oh, that's right. That's a stage in Smash. I forgot about that.
I get pretty
that.
Far in it, but I think it's a different experience.
I was just like mixing up my Pac-Man here. We're thinking of Pac-Land and like, but I'm thinking of the Super Nintendo game where Pac-Man has like all the emotions. Is that the same thing?
Oh, that's Pac-Man 2, the new adventure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that seemed kind of twisted. I love the series between the hang glider, the pictures. I think of the Japanese box art is him about to run off the cliff with the hang glider. And then the American version, he's screaming as he's flying. And that's actually a very attractive box art. It didn't work on me, but I'm sure it worked on someone.
Like, I want to see Pac-Man die.
Yeah,
that sounds amazing.
This is just like Bubsy.
Pac-Man 2, throw him off a cliff. Holy crap, that's great.
If you enjoy what you hear, head over to patreon.com/retronauts and enjoy hundreds and hundreds of hours of exclusive content with more available every week. Your support makes this show possible.